All right. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you for allowing us to just to get together to study your word. We thank you, Lord, for your word and how you comfort us through it and how you teach us and how you grow us. We pray that that you would help us tonight just to understand and to grow closer to you. Help us, Lord, to just to hear what it is that you have to speak to us, each one, Lord, individually. Just speak to our hearts and show us what that thing is, just from you to us, Lord. I pray for anybody who couldn't be here, Lord, that you would just bless them where they are and minister to them. I pray for Chapa, Lord, that you would heal her headache. And she's just really been struggling with this lately, and so I pray that you would just do a complete healing in her, Lord. And I pray that tonight that you would just speak to her, that you would comfort her, that you would just help her, Lord. Help her in all things. And we do thank you, Lord, that you are so faithful. You're so faithful to help in our times of need. So we do pray that you would help her and anybody else who needs your healing touch, Lord, your healing or your encouragement or whatever it is that they need from you, Lord. I pray that that you would give it to them and that, Lord, that we would receive it, gladly and that we would be comforted by you. So we commit this time to you. We commit this study to you. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we are in the last chapter of Philippians. We're in Philippians 4. And this is one of my favorite areas of Scripture. It's probably one that is the hardest to follow, although it's so simple, but it can be hard to follow too. So as we begin, we're going to Philippians 4:1 begins with a therefore. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for. Since it has that therefore, we're going to go back to chapter 3 a little bit to see what the therefore is there for. So we're going to start at Philippians 3:17, and I touched on this a little bit at the end of last study, but so Philippians 3:17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. And it almost seemed to me like, you know, as he was talking at the end, you know, talking about the enemies of the cross of Christ, you know, weeping, you know, he had that heart where he's just weeping for those who go against the Lord. And, you know, so if you can kind of read the emotion into that and then, you know, saying, you know, our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven. You know, we live in heaven. That's where we are. You know, the Lord is going to change our vile, our humble body. It's going to be fashioned into his glorious body, you know, according to, you know, to his working. Therefore, you know. And because the way that he just, you know, my dearly beloved, long for, my joy and crown, my dearly beloved, he says that twice, you know. So it's almost like, you know, that crescendo where he's going through all those things at the end of chapter 3. And, you know, so therefore, my brethren, my brothers, my dearly beloved, you know, those who I love, that dearly beloved you know, that's greatly loved, that's agapatos, you know, which is seems to be a, you know, like a form of agape, or, you know, it's just that deep love for them. And he's shown that throughout the whole epistle. You know, this was a very dear church to him. He founded it, and they've been helping several times. I mean, these are his brothers and sisters in Christ, so they're very, very special to him. You know, he says, you know, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for. You know, he longs for them. He longs, for, I'm sure, to see them. He's sitting in jail, and they sent a gift, and he's writing back to them. So he says, you know, my joy and crown. And, you know, when he talks about a crown, he's talking about, you know, that victor's crown. That used to be what they would compete for. You know, you win the prize, you get the victor's crown, like the Olympics, you know, what they get, the gold medal or the medal or something like that. You know, what they are to him. They're his joy, they're his crown for all that he's been working for, all that he's been pouring into them. You know, all this time when he first met them, when he ministered to them, as he writes to them, you know, as they correspond with one another, he's pouring into them, and it's like he only wants them to be walking with the Lord. You know, like Third John says, there's no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. You know, and that's his heart. You know, a couple other scriptures, you know, from Philippians that Paul talks about his love for them. Philippians 1:8 says, "For God is my record, how greatly I long after you in all the bowels of Jesus Christ." You know, so again, he's talking about, you know, longing after them. In Philippians 2:16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You know, that work that he's done with them, that ministering to them, you know, that's not in vain. They're taking hold of it. They're following after Christ. They're suffering. You know, it's a time where there's much suffering, but they're having joy in their suffering. And so he has not run this in vain. He's seeing the prize. He's seeing the prize at the end of it.
Cindy, what was that verse?
Philippians 2:16.
2:16.
Yeah, the first one was 1:8, and the second one was 2:16.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And then in 1 Thessalonians, you know, a couple of verses in Thessalonians where he's talking to a different group of people now. He's talking to the Thessalonians, but it's that same kind of thing. In 1 Thessalonians 2:19-20, he says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy." So that's kind of what he's saying to the Philippians, you know. What is our joy? What is our crown of rejoicing? It's you. It's you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is coming. You know, I can say the same thing. You know, we could probably all say the same thing about one another. We pour into one another. We love one another. We minister to one another. You know, if somebody's having a hard time, then the others gather around and pray, or, you know, try to encourage, try to lift up and build up. For us to see one another walking in truth knowing that we're ready for the Lord to come back, and we're waiting for the Lord to come back, and you know that he is our hope and he is our joy. You know, that puts such joy in my heart to see that in you guys, and I'm sure, you know, the feeling is mutual, you know, to those that as you minister to others. And then 1 Thessalonians 3:9 says, "For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God?" So again, that joy, you know, Paul is not looking at his own circumstance. He's looking at what's going on in the Philippians, what's going on in this church, what's going on in their hearts, and that is his joy. That's his hope. And you know, that's why he addresses them, you know, "Dearly beloved, long for my joy and crown, you know, my dearly beloved." And then he says, and I think, you know, as he says that, he says, "So stand fast in the Lord," you know, continue standing fast in the Lord. Standing fast is, you know, to stand firm, to persevere, to persist. And how do you do that? He's going to kind of talk about that the rest of the chapter. We're going to get into that. So, but you know, don't go the way of those in, you know, the end of chapter 3, of those who are the enemies of the cross of Christ. You know, don't who mind earthly things, whose God is their belly. You know, don't give into that. Don't get into that. Stand fast, stand firm, you know, be firm in the Lord. And then Philippians 4, 2 and 3, I had to look up these words, so, and then they're pronounced completely different from what I would have pronounced them, but the first one, "I beseech you, and beseech Suntika that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life." So apparently these two women are having some sort of tiff or disagreement or something. This is really the only thing that he has had to correct in this church. You know, a lot of times when he's writing to different churches, he's trying to correct something. He really hasn't in the Philippians. It's just kind of been a love letter. But here there is a little thing. You know, these two ladies have not been in the same mind, so he's just encouraging them, you know, be the same mind in the Lord. You know, and then he talks about the true yoke fellow. Help these women who labored with me in the gospel. You know, so they're believers. They had been working alongside of him, laboring with him, trying to, you know, labor to the same end. Those whose names are in the book of life. Which whose names are in the book of life? You know, the believers in Jesus Christ. I mean, we're all, our names are in the book of life, and it's going to be opened in the last day, and you know, and we're going to be found there. And you know, that when I think about that, I mean, that's just it doesn't get any better than that. I can't imagine why somebody wouldn't want that. You know what I mean? But so he's saying, you know, be of the same mind. And he talks about yoke fellow, you know, which means co-yoked. Now, a yoke is, you know, if you would see on a farm or probably an old Bible video or an old movie or something, where you have two oxen plowing together, you know, they're plowing the field, and they've got that that wooden thing on their necks that's kind of holding both of them together. And they're moving together and they're working together, so that yoke, you know, kind of keeps them together. So a yoke fellow is somebody who comes alongside, somebody who's helping, who's doing the same thing that you are, who's moving right along with you. You know, they had to move together as one. If not, you know, nothing would get done because they would be fighting. And it's the same thing as, you know, people that come along to help you. You know, they need to be of the same mind, you know. And if they're not, then nothing's going to get done. Nothing's going to get done for the kingdom. Nothing's going to get done for anything, because you're fighting together. You can't get anywhere. You know, you've got this yoke on, and if you're not moving together smoothly, it's not going to work. So that's the Bible talks about, don't be unequally yoked. You know, 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And that's not only in marriage. You know, we take that for marriage, which is very true. But it's in all our relationships. You know, it could be business relationships. It could be, you know, friendships. It could be whatever. You know, you have to be very careful about that, because if you're not of the same mind, you know, then that other mind is going to wanting to be pulling you away from the mind of Christ. You know, we have one focus. We have that focus, the mind of Christ, to, you know, obey his word, you know, what it says in there. If you know, if you're connected with somebody else who's not, then it could be a very bad thing, because somebody's gonna pull, you know, it's a push pull, and you're not in there together. So not unequally yoked. Hi, Elsa. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And he said it twice. Again, I say rejoice. You know, and again, that's the theme of this book is joy. You know, and so now he's saying again, you know, he's saying, be of the same mind, you know, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Nehemiah 8:10 says, and then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I love that. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So rejoice in all things. We need to rejoice. Always having that joy, not happiness necessarily, although, you know, it's not unhappiness, but it's not dependent on how we are feeling. It's not dependent on our circumstance. It's not dependent on anything. It's only dependent on the Lord. And so we can rejoice in that. Rejoice in the Lord always. We can always rejoice in that, no matter what is going on, no matter if we think it's good, if we think it's bad, whatever. All things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. So we can rejoice in the Lord always. And in case you didn't get it the first time, he says it again. And again, I say rejoice. You know, and again, remember, he's sitting in prison, you know, so not knowing, he's going to have to go before Nero, and he's not knowing what is going to happen to him, but he's able to find joy, and because he rejoices in the Lord, and that's so important. We can't find joy in circumstances or things going on around us. We can only find that in the Lord. There's a scripture in 2 Chronicles that where they're going to battle, and I'm just looking at it. And so Jehoshaphat, you know, leading the people, and in verse 22, well, in verse 21. So this is 2 Chronicles 20:21. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of his holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. And so, why I wanted to read that was because, you know, they're going out to battle. They're going out to battle, and they're setting people ahead to praise the Lord. They're going into battle praising the Lord, you know, having that joy, having that that praise to the Lord, and then the Lord fought the battle for them. So, you know, what kind of battles are we going through today? We all have our own battles. You know, we have our common battles that are going on in this world that we're all dealing with, but it's also, you know, individually, we all have things that we're going through. And the Lord wants to fight that battle for you. So what is our job in that, you know, not to fight because he fights for us, but we praise the Lord. We continue to have that joy and praise him and let him fight it for us. Anybody so far have any comments? Victoria?
So, a couple things. When you were talking about in the beginning how he was saying that he really loved them a lot, and you know, he's been ministering mm-hmm. to them, and he, you know, really loved them. And it's kind of, I kind of can relate to that, because I feel like there's some people in my life that I've been ministering to for a long time, many, many years. Mm-hmm. And when I see them, like, really walking in the Lord and really choosing to follow after the Lord, it's really exciting for me. Mm-hmm. And I feel kind of like they're my little sister, my little brother, you know, kind of excited for them. But when I see people that I've been ministering to for a while and they don't really want to walk with the Lord, it's really sad for me. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's kind of like, it's hard. And then you were talking about, like, unequally yoked. The ones that are growing, I feel like I can have more of a bond with them, and I feel like it's more of a becoming of an equally yoked, where the ones that are not really walking with the Lord, it's kind of sad for me, and I feel like it's unequally yoked, so we can't even have that same fellowship.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so it's kind of sad for me. And then even with that, like, choosing your friends, like you were saying, it's not just about being married, but, like, choosing your friends, because when you have a hard situation, you know, you go to your friends for something, and they're not going to tell you the things of the Lord, mm-hmm. and they're going to tell you, you know, things that are not from the Bible. It really can be leading you into a very destructive life.
Yeah.
If you're not, you know, really have a close relationship with people that really are walking with God, and that really do care about the things of the Lord and guiding you and helping you in that. And so I think that's very important.
I agree. And so often it's you know, we are the ones that end up compromising and being pulled away from the Lord, you know, instead.
Yeah.
But like you were saying, it's such a joy when you see somebody who you've been ministering to, somebody you've been pouring into, you know, you see the light go on, you see them understand, you see them loving the Lord more, and it is, there's no greater joy than that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so cool.
Yeah.
So, thank you.
Yeah.
In Philippians 4:5, it says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." So, in that moderation is your different translations might say, you know, gentleness or mildness, that kind of thing. It means mild, gentle, patient. One commentator, and I'm not sure who it was that said this, but he said, this word describes the heart of a person who will let the Lord fight his battles. He knows that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It describes a person who is really free to let go of his anxieties and all the things that cause him stress, because he knows that the Lord will take up his cause. So, you know, and it says to let your moderation be known to all men. You know, to all men. And from TJ, we know that all means all. So, you know, not only to the ones that we like, but to all. And then, you know, the Lord is at hand. You know, the Lord, and we say that all the time, you know, the Lord is at hand. The Lord is coming back. I mean, back then they were saying, you know, they were looking for the coming of the Lord. Way back then, I mean, since I've been a Christian, you know, 30 years ago, we've been, you know, it could be today. It might be today. It might be today. And even now, even more so, as you see the signs of the times and that, oh, it might be today. It might be today. But we just need to, you know, we need to know that, that he is coming. When is by his choosing, and he's got that worked out, but we can't lose hope. 2 Peter 3:18-14 says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him, of him, in peace, without spot and blameless. So, you know, don't, he's not slack concerning his promise. He is coming back. Don't get impatient. You know, he's coming. The Lord is at hand, and, we just need to be ready for him. Philippians 4:6-7, and we all know this one. We probably have it all memorized, and we say it all the time. Be careful for nothing. Your translation may say anxious. Be anxious for nothing, but be careful, full of care. Be, you know, don't be full of care about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So, you know, be full of care about nothing, but in everything, by prayer, which is oratory, worship, talking to the Lord. You're having conversation with the Lord. You're talking to him. He's talking to you. But by prayer and supplication, and that supplication is requesting, asking him. For things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, you know, always with that attitude of gratitude, always being thankful for what, you know, whatever it is, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And this, as I was studying this week, you know, the last couple of weeks, the Lord has really spoken to me about this, because I know this, And like I say, I've got it memorized. And so I recite it a lot. I say it in my mind a lot. Anytime I'm getting anxious about something, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. But do I really do it? You know, that's the thing, putting it into practice. And something that the Lord really showed me this week is because I was really getting anxious about the whole election and how it's going. And I just you know, full of worry and just everything that comes with that. And then the Lord brought this verse to mind. You know, be careful about nothing. Be full of care about nothing. You know, and what he brought to mind was in Matthew 16, when Jesus was with his disciples and he was telling them that he had to go to Jerusalem and that he was going to be crucified and he would rise again in 3 days. And in verse 22, Peter took him and began to rebuke him and said, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." And Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." So as Jesus is telling them what's going to be happening to him, and Peter is, no, that can't happen. No. And Jesus says, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You know, you're an offense to me. If you're not for me, you know, if you're not with me, then you're against me." And so I started thinking, you know, I don't know what God's will is in all this, but I know that he has a plan. And I know whoever is selected to be president is God's will. It's who he has allowed to be there, regardless of what I think and regardless of what I want, because he has a plan. And if I'm not going to be with that plan, then am I an offense to him? You know what I mean? I don't want to be that. I don't want him to say that. "Get thee behind me, Satan. You know, get with what I want to do." And so in that, I really was able to just kind of, okay, you know, I'm not going to be anxious. I'm not going to be full of care about this because God's got it. I don't know how it's going to turn out. And, of course, in my flesh, there's a way that I want it to turn out and the way that I think everything should be. But that's not God's way. And that's not what he wants. I don't know what his plan is in all this. But whatever it is, I have to be willing to go along with his plan. So, easier said than done sometimes, but that's what we need to do. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you." And that's it. You know, we cast it all upon him and give it to him, knowing and trusting, you know, trusting that he is on the throne and he knows what he's doing, you know, way more than we do. I mean, he sees the whole picture. He sees everything. And he knows every heart. He knows every action. He knows every honest thing. He knows every dishonest thing. He knows all. So, what is that one scripture? The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he moves it whithersoever he will, you know. So, God has used a lot of wicked men. He's used a lot of good men, you know. Look at Nebuchadnezzar, you know, and God did a wonderful work in his life. So, did you have something to say, Lori?
I was going to say, we had to purposely lay all this at the feet of Jesus. It was really hard, you know, at first, but then I know God's promises, and I know that the Lord's going to take care of us. Mm-hmm. And so my thoughts were, you know, at first we were like, you got to be kidding. Oh, no, you know, all this. And, but we literally had to make the choice to get away from the TV. Mm-hmm. And set that aside and focus on what we needed to do around here. I was yesterday, it was the Lord just, I pray in the spirit. I'm not sure where you guys all stand on that. But I literally, the Lord just took over my mouth. And I actually scared the dog. So I said, Lord, let this be your prayer. And I just started praying, and so loudly, I've never prayed that loud. But I knew it was the Lord and that something needed to be taken care of right there at that moment. And so I did that. I followed through till I felt like I got a release and that, you know, the Lord was done with me. And then I just moved on, and I said, Lord, I'm leaving this all at your feet. Mm-hmm. And even Jesse, you know, we had to literally take time away from it. And so we haven't been having it on, although we've been checking in. Mm-hmm. We had to leave it at the feet of Jesus because, I mean, it could be so traumatizing and so frustrating. And you can let that, the anger well up in your heart. To where you start to, I literally, because my close people that are in disagreement with me, you know, they're on the opposite side. I just think, wow, you know, and I was, at first I could tell I was starting to, mm-hmm. you know, let that, like, I'm thinking like, what are they thinking? And are you kidding me? And I literally had to go, okay, make a conscious effort. Okay, this is not them. This is all in the spirit realm. And I need to not allow that anger to grow in my heart. Mm-hmm. So I had to release that. And so we're just kind of moving on. And cool. I got a phone call, and I'm like, oh, hey, from one of those. I'm like, hey, how you doing? And everything. You know, I had to purposely not let it bother me at all.
But that's, you know, what you said. You purposely did that. You made a choice. And that's what we need to do. We need to make the choice. You know, I will be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, I'm going to go to God. So.
Amen. Yeah. Yes. So. Yes, absolutely.
It was good. Thank you. Victoria?
And I think, too, it's like saying, do we really believe that God has our best interest in mind? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, like, parents, our kids don't know the whole thing. They don't know the whole, what we're thinking, you know, when we make a decision for them. And they get upset, you know, if they don't understand. It's like they're focused on their moment, what they want to do, what they want in that moment. Mm-hmm. When we have a whole, like, reason behind it. It has nothing to do with the thing. It has to do with the whole other thing, you know.
Right.
And so I think just walking with God, thinking about, okay, do we really believe that God really has our best interest in mind? Is he really going to do something that hurts us? Is he really going to leave us alone? Is he really going to do something that's not in our best interest? So it's really, I think it takes faith to really just stop and say, okay, I don't get it. Mm-hmm. I don't understand it. It doesn't feel good. Yeah. And this is where you have me right now, so I'm going to trust that this is for my best interest, even though I don't understand it.
Yeah.
And I do think it takes time. It takes time to get to that point. I think it takes, for some people, it takes more experience in that, where you have to keep going through stuff mm-hmm. in order to get to that point. And it takes time with the Lord. You have to get to know your God.
Yeah.
To know that who he is and the kinds of things that he does.
But the thing is that how do we trust him? How do we get to know him and know that he does the things that he says he'll do? By going through the trials, by mm-hmm. going through the hard times, you know? Yeah. That's where we prove him. That's where we see where he's come through oh yeah, he's come through all these other times. I know he's not going to leave me now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you trust a little more, a little more, a little more. And so not that we ever arrive, but yeah. So good. Thank you.
Well, I think sometimes we have to kind of press in and not just go, oh, I knew it, or, you know, and that kind of thing. I think when we know something is true and right, and sometimes we have to press in and trust the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And pray. Because I think in yeah. all of that and all these things, sometimes we forget to pray.
Yeah.
And we can just get wrapped up in our emotions. And I went, oh my gosh, okay, I have to be praying.
Yeah.
I have to literally pray, because we can sit there and just be all wrapped up in it and not pray and what he wants us to do. And for him to act, I mean, we need to pray about these things. And I think we tend to just get too wrapped up sometimes, and then the time passes and we go, wow, I should have been praying about that. I really should have been, you know, doing God's work and leading it up to him and praying.
Yeah, and that's what it says, you know, in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be known to God. And the peace yeah. of God, you know, you're not going to get that peace without the whole thing. You know, not being anxious, choosing not to be, and then praying, choosing to, you know, to do that. So, and like 1 Thessalonians, you know, pray without ceasing. You know, in everything give thanks.
Yep.
This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You know, we know that's his will. You know, so, yeah. Good points. Thank you.
Yep.
All right. So, very good input. Thank you. So in verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So that word peace, means set at one again. And I love that, because, you know, set at one again, when I have peace, it sets me at one again. I always think of kind of like a cross, and when I'm, you know, when I'm not peaceful, you know, I'm kind of all over the place, and that peace of God, you know, he sets me at one again, you know, right where I need to be, and with him, one with him. So Isaiah 26:3-4, I think this is probably, if I had to pick a favorite verse, this is mine. This is the one that I go to all the time, and it's thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So you know, again, every time you want that peace, you know, if we want that peace, then we have to we have to do our part, you know. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, you know. So our mind needs to be stayed on him. You know, we want the peace of God. Then we have to not be anxious, and we have to pray and that kind of thing. Vicki?
Yeah, it took me a long time in my heart, because I was always anxious. I was always angry. I was always blaming other people for everything for 20 years. And, you know, that's a lot of heaviness in your heart. And that pushed you down, down, down. And that's heavy, very, very heavy. And I've noticed when these past 5 years that I really, you know, have read the Bible, listened, have fellowship, go to church. Well, you know, I haven't been on church, but I'm Zoom at least.
Mm-hmm.
And but I'm understanding, and I'm listening to the Lord more. And with my niece help, Victoria, she sends me scriptures. My sister sends me scripture. These last 5 years, I've been really praying, and it lifts that heaviness of your heart. Mm-hmm. So to me, the peace in heart, that's what means to me It's that heaviness in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's that darkness, you know. And it may, and when I pray, I'm having more trust in the Lord now. That's what I see now.
Yeah.
You know? And that's the greatest feeling, because it's really heavy in your heart when you don't trust or have faith in the Lord.
Yeah.
And I know that.
Yeah.
It really, it puts a bruise on your heart, you know?
Yeah.
And I like this right here, what you just said.
Yeah.
So that's what I had to say.
Thank you. That was good. Okay, so so the peace of God, you know, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And that keep is a military action. The Strong's definition is to be a watcher in advance, to mount guard as a sentinel, you know, to hem in, to protect, to keep with a garrison. So, you know, and you know, of course, who sets that, you know, in our hearts? But the Lord does, you know, that peace that guards us, and, you know, God does that for us. And it's not that, you know, that which passes all understanding, you know, it's like you don't know it until you experience it. Until you can, you know, it's beyond just, you know, head knowledge. It's but when we experience it, we know we're at peace, and it, that kind of peace only comes from the Lord. So okay, Philippians 8:4. We're almost out of time, so I'm probably just going to kind of go through this quickly, and then we'll pick up on this again next week. Philippians 4:8-9. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. I think we can all agree that our mind is our biggest enemy. You know, the thoughts that we think. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our minds, you know, need to be renewed, renewed in the Lord. And so we need to think on these things. Well, you know, what is true? What is honest? What is just? Pure, lovely, of good report, virtue, praise. You know, all those things. We need to think on those things. We need to not let our mind go to the opposite of those. We need to, you know, our mind is such a battleground. I can't tell you how many times, you know, TJ will be out somewhere and he's late coming home and he doesn't answer his phone or whatever, and it's because he's in his car, you know, and he's driving or whatever. And so by the time he gets home, I've already got him in a horrific accident. He's laying dead in the morgue somewhere. And, you know, I mean, because my mind, you start thinking one thing, you know, that's not true. You know, don't let your mind go there. Think on the things that are true, the things that are good, the things that are just. You know, let's not think about and keep our minds on the unjustness of this world and all that. Think on those things that are just, that are pure, that are clean, innocent, you know. All those things, you know, that's where our mind needs to be. We need to bring our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. Malachi 3:16, I love this verse. It said, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name." And so, you know, our thoughts, I mean, the Lord, so, you know, we are those that fear the Lord, and we speak to each other, and the Lord hearkens, and he's listening. Oh, you know, they're talking about me. And he gets out this book of remembrance, and he writes it down, and for those who thought on his name. So, you know, you think about, though, you think on true, we're going to think about the Lord, we're going to think about, you know, his goodness, his purity, all those things. And it's in a book of remembrance. You know, I just think that's cool. So, and then finally, verse 9, and this is, you know, those things that you've received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Do. If we don't do it, the God, you know, we're not going to have the peace. You have to do those things that we've learned, those things that the Bible is telling us. We have to do them. And then the peace of God will be with us. You know, all those things that Paul's been teaching them. Do. If we don't do them, then it's not going to benefit us at all. So, Vicki?
You know, you're so right. Our mind is our worst enemy. Because mm-hmm. we can think of all kinds of negative, that negativity comes in. To me, I always say, devil, stop. Stop talking to me. I know that's you. I have to yell out because sometimes it kind of overwhelms my mind, mm-hmm. and I want to listen, mm-hmm. and I'll say, no, devil, because I learned that from my mom. My mom would say, scream at that devil and say, no, you don't want to listen. And I have to really literally say that out loud.
I would say, though, instead of doing that, I would, you know, talk to God. You know?
Well, I do. What I'm just saying is my mind races,
mm-hmm.
and I have to say, stop, it's you, the devil, and then I pray to God.
Yeah.
And it will stop. It'll stop. Yeah. Because it seems like if I don't shout out, because I used to tell my mom, because I didn't know about God talks to you at that time. This mm-hmm. is when I was learning.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, God talks to you. And I said, I never heard God talk to me, you know, because I wasn't there yet, you know. And then I would say, she said, shout out to that devil. Because, you know, at that time, my mind was racing, going on and on. And it wouldn't stop. And I was thinking of all kinds of things. And so I started to shout out to the devil and say, stop it. Leave me alone. Then I would pray to God. And it got better and better by praying and praying.
Yeah, I actually did a study on that once. I went through the Bible to see, because I wondered about that too, and you know, like rebuking the devil and making him leave and that kind of thing. And what I found was that the only one who is to rebuke the devil is the Lord. The Lord Jesus. Even Michael the archangel didn't rebuke the devil.
God never said rebuke.
He said,
my mom did.
Right.
But they always say, leave me alone.
But you know, yeah. But I mean, I would direct that to the Lord. You know, Lord, tell him to leave me alone.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's how I kind of do it. You know, but when I first started out, I had you know, my mom was trying to teach me.
Yeah.
Because my mind used to race a lot.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't stop. It just kept going and going. And it was all negativity stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And I couldn't stop it, you know? And she finally was telling me, tell the devil, leave you alone, that you're with God, you know? And that's when I just started doing it. That's like 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
And now, you know, sometimes I have, when you said your mind is your worst enemy, I remember that. Now it's gotten better, because when it starts to do that, I pray to God, and then things get better, or I feel something like, oh, why me? Why is this? And it's not even there yet, but I'm thinking that already.
Right,
like it's going to be no or whatever. I start praying because my mind is starting to race.
Right, and that's what we need to do. Draw near to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. So,
yeah.
But it's always got to be through through the Lord. So, yeah.
And so that's why I kind of understand people that's got mental illness. Not that I got mental illness.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying, I understand it in a way because, you know, I was depressed for a long time.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel for them because if I was depressed and my mind was racing, can you imagine mental illness people? Their mind's racing like 100 miles, you know, nonstop.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel for people like that, you know.
Yeah.
I connect to them kind of people, you know. And not that I'm connected, you know.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Understand that little part, you know.
You identify with them.
Yeah, that's a better word. Mm-hmm. And so I, you know, I'm just glad that I am with the Lord, that I can pray. And I feel so relief, you know, and I feel that it's good for me.
Yeah.
You know, God is good.
Yeah, he is.
Yep.
All the time.
Yes.
Yep. Take those thoughts captive.
Yes.
Yes, very much.
Yep.
Amen.
You know, another thing, too, is that you can, because I've done some studies on, like, actually on the brain itself. Mm-hmm. And you can train your brain.
Right, that's what I've been doing.
And, you know, taking it to the Lord, because it's like developing habits, like in the neural pathway. So, like, if you keep thinking about negative things, you're training your brain to think about negative things.
Right,
but
right.
If you start thinking about positive things, and, you know, I'm not saying just positive thoughts. I'm just saying, like, that's the way our bodies are designed. So, when you're, you know, saying, okay, I'm going to make a habit. Here's this negative thought. I'm going to, as soon as a negative thought comes in, I'm going to say the scripture. Or I'm going to, you know, do a quick prayer. Or I'm going to redirect my thoughts. You're going to start training yourself to do that. And that's going to become a habit. So I think that's part of it, too, is like teaching yourself to do that, you know?
So what I've been doing is, like you said the right word, Victoria, training. And that's how I'm starting to train my brain. What I say is, I'm going to be happy today. I'm not going to have nobody take this joy away.
It's not like Joyce Meyer.
I'm going to be happy. You know, I get up now and saying that to myself because
you're making the choice to do that.
Yeah, because I'm tired of being depressed. I'm tired of being sad. I've been like this for 20 years, and now that I've been feeling good, feeling joy in my heart, peace in my heart these past 5 years, I feel like I want to shout it out. But then some days I'll get up and something in my brain will want to do that, but then I have to say, no, I'm going to be happy today. Don't take my joy. I'm going to be happy at least half of the day or full day. But you're not going to take it completely. You know?
Yeah.
So, pray to God.
Yes, praise God. He is good.
Amen. You know, a trick that I found, someone had taught me this before, like, okay, I had to do like a phone interview, and they had taught me to, said, just put a big smile on your face, like, smile, literally, and it changes your mental attitude. And you can be up and not so nervous and or whatever the situation may be. So just putting like that huge smile on your face, it's amazing. And if you walk away and you forget and you don't put that smile, then put that smile back on your face and just put it on there as big as you can get it. And it's amazing how it literally changes your attitude. It's
well,
great.
You know what I used to do when I was depressed? And I'm so glad to say when I was, because I don't have to say I'm depressed anymore. I used to try really hard, and I smile and, you know, real happy, you know. but I was dying inside. Mm. I don't care how big my smile was. It was all fake. And it made me sick to my stomach to be fake. I don't like to be a fake person. I don't, it might have helped you, but it didn't help me because I know I tried that.
No, to and me, it pulled it out of me to where my whole attitude changed.
Hmm. And to me, it was like, I guess I did it so long that maybe I got tired of acting like I was happy. And maybe, you know, when I start praying to God, it pulled it out, like, going to be happy. You're going to be happy. You know, God said you're going to be happy. You know, I don't know. You know, some people are different. You know, I was depressed for a long time, you know, and it took me a long time to get out of that darkness. And I'm very proud of myself, and I have to say that for myself. I'm very happy that I pulled myself. I'm not completely out that hole, but believe me, I crawled out of it. And it took me 20 years. And if it wasn't for my family, if it wasn't for the church, and if it wasn't for my mother, number one, my mother prayed for me to come to church and to believe in God more, I wouldn't be here. So thanks to Mom and God.
You seem to be doing great now.
Yes, yes. I'm happy. And this is not a fake smile.
No. We know it's not.
Cindy, I'm going to jump off here. Sorry, I need to get on that other
meeting. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, love you guys.
Good, love you too.
Bye. Bye-bye. Bye. God bless.
I'm going to go ahead.
You too.
Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and pray and then we can talk. Whatever. Okay, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for tonight. I thank you for your word again, Lord. I thank you for your promises and your just how you show us different things, Lord, how you take care of us and how you show us your will. I thank you for all the sharing tonight and just all that you're doing in each of these ladies' lives, Lord. I thank you just for your goodness and your grace and your mercy that you show to us. So thank you. Thank you. And we pray for just, again, those who couldn't be here and just lift them up to you, Lord. So help us this week, Lord. Help us to put into practice those things that we learned. Help us to do those things that you tell us to do in your word. And help us to make that choice every day, Lord, to trust you, to not to be anxious, to think on those things that are good, Lord. And give us the strength to do it, Lord. Because we know we can do all things through you who strengthen us. So we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yeah, I feel